the podcast. It was always burning since the world's been turning. We didn't start the podcast. No, we didn't find it, but we tried to find it.
This is We Didn't Start the Podcast, an album-by-album rewatch of Billy Joel's shoe-bop and doo-wop and career.
I'm Adam Ragusea. I don't really like Billy Joel's shoo-bee-doo-wop.
I'm Meg Donahue, and I really do. This episode, we'll be discussing Billy's ninth studio album, An Innocent Man.
The Innocent Man. This is the one where Billy is just kind of like, well, I think he gets away with being derivative this one time because it's explicit. It's the mission statement.
Right.
It's going back to his youth, those days when he had chocolate all over his face.
Yep.
And reliving.
He's taking Christy to the malt shop.
Oh, yeah.
He's showing around Hicksville.
Two straws, one glass.
Oh, gosh.
God, it's the freakiest web video ever.
Oh, no.
Okay. Well, this album came out August 8th, 1983. Meg, what else happened there in 1983?
Michael Jackson debuted The Moonwalk at the 25th anniversary of Motown television event. Sadly, Billy's Oyster Bay Shuffle never really caught on.
The members of KISS appeared in public without their makeup for the first time, to which Billy commented, wait, I could have been in makeup this whole time?
The Matthew Broderick film War Games was released. The film is classified as sci-fi not because it's about a small-town nerd stopping a nuclear war, but because the nerd ends up with the hottest girl in school because he impressed her with his science knowledge.
Because that happens.
Totally, right?
By the way, when I was looking at other things that happened in 1983, there were so many nuclear accidents in 1983.
Right?
Jesus Christ!
The 80s were a harrowing time, and all I can remember is Duran Duran and Reagan. How many times did we almost die?
Well, also in 1983, Billy's second wife-to-be, Christie Brinkley, had a part in National Lampoon's Vacation as the woman in the red Ferrari. And Billy's third wife-to-be, Katie Lee, turned two.
Happy birthday, Katie Lee.
She's this many years.
This many years.
Oh. I have a bonus fact. Bonus fact about 1983. Chrysler released the first minivan, the Dodge Caravan. That and all minivans sold to moms for the next decade would come standard with copies of Billy Joel's The Innocent Man album right in that big old center console.
I mean, that's a reason in itself to reproduce.
Sure.
Because you want that minivan with that CD in it.
Yeah. Duh.
1983 was the year Billy slipped in the bathroom, hit his head on the toilet, and woke up in 1959.
Whoa, this is heavy, Doc. Meg, before we proceed, I fell down a Joel hole. Fell down a big Joel hole.
It's the best hole to fall in.
And got caught up in a couple of things that I found on the internet. I would like to show them to you. First of all, so there's a lot of footage on the internet of Billy performing what are called master classes, right? Which is really odd because in the performing arts, a master class is a pretty specific thing. It's where, like, you know, like a great violinist would come to a violin studio at a conservatory, maybe play something and talk a little bit, and then all of the violin students would get up and they would play a piece, and then the master would critique that performance, you know, both for the benefit of that student and also for all the other students in the room. That's what a master class is.
But I'm assuming that Billy didn't want to hear anybody else.
No. This is just Billy getting up and talking about Billy for an entire two, like these shows are like 2 to 3 hours long.
Wow.
I went to one of these. I told you when I was like 14 or something, he came to the Eisenhower Auditorium at Penn State.
You never told me this.
You talk about it. Do you not listen to your own episode?
Well, somehow I blocked it out, so it's fresh. So tell me about it.
Yeah, he just stands on stage with like a keyboard and takes questions from the audience and like plays little bits of his own songs. And I remember there was this one time in when I saw him where he just literally was just, it was like a half an hour stretch, and it was at the 90-minute mark or somewhere. There was like a half an hour stretch where all he was doing was like picking up, you know, just like pulling up different fake instrument sounds on his keyboard. And being like, wow, that doesn't sound like a guitar. Or like,
so he was drunk.
Yes. As an adult, now I know the signs. Right.
Here's a dog barking.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. This is kind of funny. Like, oh, here's a bongo.
Fart sound.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. It was just like the beginning of that other Matthew Broderick film, Harris Bueller's Day Off.
Harris, when will you learn?
Yeah, Okay. Anywho, so there's a lot of YouTube videos of these performances, and here's one from 1995 in which he is in Nuremberg.
Nuremberg,
Germany.
Oh, the Germans love him.
And listen to how he talks in this thing.
To get a group of musicians to work together, even a small group of musicians, six musicians, seven musicians, is difficult over a long period of time. Musicians are all people who want to express themselves, and there's a lot of ego to deal with, and somebody has to.
Whoa, he just had a stroke,
leader.
I think.
I'm not a good boss.
Listen.
A band leader really needs to be kind of the boss and the leader. And
how many people you got there, Sybil? Jeez.
All these great musicians, you know, no, wrong, you can't do that, you can't do that.
And he just falls in and out of it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, okay, fine.
So if we needed further evidence of what an impressionable boy Billy is, he gets around some Germans.
Singer. I don't think like a singer. I think like a writer.
Singer. Zinger.
Composer. So I don't practice a lot. I don't rehearse a lot. I don't try to do a lot of different takes in a recording studio.
I think he might actually be crazy.
Okay, so that's one thing in this video that further proves many of our building case against Joel, okay? In the case of the state versus Joel, Joel is overly impressionable. He gets in a room with a bunch of Germans, and all of a sudden it's right. Just Sieg Heil all over the place, okay? All right, so that's one thing. And then the other thing, you know, how I was saying about how, like, I think that, you know, the reason that he sounds so derivative is because he's so skillful that he's actually able to fully impersonate the things that he is inspired by. So listen to this.
And it was a mistake. I have a theory. I happen to think the only original things that we do is make mistakes. I think we can all be taught to do things exactly the perfect way, the way it went before, the way it's all been written out before us. But only each one of us can screw up in our own unique, exquisite way.
I can't get over. Syntax.
Come on, I'm right. Give me my moment of victory before you go back to the accent. Okay, I'm so right. Right,
you
he
are.
Just admitted it.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
Okay.
We have confirmation.
There's also one of these videos where he plays the entertainer on the guitar. And it is so awkward. He is just like, it's like he's,
you know,
it's like he's grating cheese or something on the thing.
Still he won't dare say, so I've learned to dance with a hand in my pants. Let him rub my neck, I write him a check, and they go their merry way.
I was thinking last night about Billy playing guitar and how it's like having someone in a wedding dress holding a fishing rod. Like, there are two things that just don't go together. Like, what's that story? Why is Billy holding a guitar?
Have you seen the video of him? He's on the Stormfront tour, I think, and he is playing We Didn't Start the Fire Live when he gets up from the piano, he straps on the guitar, and he's wearing a t-shirt, and he takes the sleeves of the t-shirt and he rolls them up like Bruce Springsteen, you know, and he's got his arm flab kind of flapping in the breeze, and his little paunch.
He's
and
got
it's
just bat like, wings.
Yeah, and it's just like I can't figure out if he's trying to. I hope he's trying to make a little joke, but it's a little
think,
just bit like you know, Bruce does it, so I got to do it, right?
I'm a man of the people.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Okay, so that is one thing I found when I fell down my Joel hole. The other thing I found when I fell down my Joel hole was this other video. I can't find it now. But he was talking about writing Anthony's song, Moving Out, right?
Right.
And he talks about how, like, you know, I just wanted to write a song about a kid named Anthony, you know? I just had this image in my head of, like a mother calling out to, you know, through the window to his son, you know, Anthony, Anthony. And I just had to get a song out of that. And I know where he got that image from. Do you?
No, where?
You're from Boston.
I am.
You should know the Prince Spaghetti commercial from 1969.
Oh my gosh.
Anthony Martinietti lives in Boston on Prince Street in the Italian North End. the home for more than 50 years of the Prince Spaghetti Company.
I am fascinated by the psychology of Joel.
This is how bland he is. Like, he gets his ideas from television commercials. Have you not seen this commercial?
I've never seen this commercial.
You're from Boston, you've never seen this commercial.
I've never seen this
commercial. This is like the definitive Boston commercial.
Never seen it.
Yeah. With wheat germ energy, other pastas leave out.
I'm surprised he didn't. I'm going to write a song about wheat germ. I just had this vision in my mind.
With the carbs a boy needs to grow.
I will tell you, Wednesday is Prince Spaghetti Day.
That adorable child. There was like a New York Times feature like last year where they like photographed that kid all grown up with his own kid like on Prince Street in the North End. It was really sweet.
Good. I'm glad it was sweet and not harrowing.
No, it's so. He was not.
Like all that Prince Spaghetti money went straight up his nose.
She's my up down girl. You know that you are. I'm in love with an uptown girl.
So Billy has gotten a divorce from Elizabeth, and he's out and he's single and he's doing his stuff and he's dating Elle McPherson, and she shows up at his, she's 19 years old and shows up at his apartment, and you know, oh God, just the craziness. From a kid from Hicksville, Long Island.
Oh boy.
Big shakes going on.
Let's listen in his own words. This is again from that box set collection where he's talking in front of the boats.
The boat lectures.
The boat lectures. Joel, the boat lectures.
All right.
That was such a gay video.
So gay. And I'm like, wait, they're naked and they're naked. I didn't even notice. Yeah, right, Billy.
After I did the Nylon Curtain and we went on the road, I wanted to do something which was 180 degrees in the other direction. I had gotten divorced and I started dating these different women. I was going out with models and I was a rock star, you know, a single guy who was a rock star. I was like amazed at my good fortune at the time. And I started dating Christie Brinkley at the time, too, and started writing songs about these experiences. I kind of felt like a teenager all over again. All those songs that I remembered from the early 60s, R&B songs and the Four Seasons and Motown music and soul
premise.
Music.
Right.
That's creepy?
It is a little strange, I'll admit. But I think that in this album, what makes it not creepy and not makes it regressive is that he is writing lyrics. So this is the music that he grew up with as a child, but he's writing adult lyrics with it.
Mm-hmm.
So he actually has done a little bit of a synthesis there.
Mm-hmm.
So that is something that, you know, that's a big step forward for Joel.
I would agree. Let's just back up a few steps. And Christie Brinkley, fine, whatever, okay? But, like, everybody thinks that this record is all about Christie Brinkley. He only got with Christie Brinkley, like, halfway through the writing of this record, okay?
Right.
The first half of this record is about Elle McPherson.
Right.
Okay? Now, let's... Okay, Joel is, what, 33, 34?
And he's a hard 34, man.
Okay, he's a hard 30. He's my age, okay? Like, how old I am right now is how old Billy was when he was writing this record. McPherson was 18, 19 years old, okay? And he's dating Elle McPherson. All right. We work at a university, Meg, all right? How would you feel about – this would be like me dating one of our freshmen.
I would say that there is something emotionally stunted with someone who could be with somebody that young. As a grown man, as a 34-year-old hooking up, I don't care how hot she is, how leggy she is, how Australian she is. There's a little, and
it's exploitative. It's not right.
Yeah. And the thing is, it just makes him sound even more pathetic.
It's true. It's true. But this is the thing. I had this revelation about the Joel. There's a word. There's a B word, which totally sums up Joel.
Yes,
everything
tell
about
me this
him.
B word, this what, legendary B word.
What B word
about.
Do you think that it might be?
I don't know. I've been.
Joel is so basic.
Hey. That's actually true, and I think that
define basic in this context for the people.
Basic in this context would be this sort of midlife crisis. There's nothing extraordinary about it. You know, this guy, it's typical.
Yeah, when Rihanna calls someone a basic bitch, like what does she mean by that?
My interpretation of that is it's a yoga pants wearing, nothing extraordinary about you, doing the same thing everybody else is doing, no creativity,
basic bitch.
Exactly, right. So like Billy's a basic bitch because and it's just like with the motorcycles and all the other shit and the boats, it's like I don't think he actually knows what he enjoys in life. And so he's just doing the things that he thinks he's supposed to be doing, like dating models who are like twice his height, which can't be fun for him, right. You know, like, you know, with the shoes, they're right. like three times his height. Right. Okay.
Stomp.
It's
Joel.
Just like, he's just like, maybe that's his thing, I guess. Right.
But I think you might be giving him too much credit. And I say that as a fan.
Wow.
In the fact that I think he actually does enjoy it. He's not pretending to enjoy it. Okay. He does. And he is kind of a basic bitch.
I also think it's not okay for a 34-year-old guy to date an 18-year-old.
Ooh, line in the sand, man.
I don't think that that's okay. I was talking about this with my wife the other day, and she, you know what she says to me?
What does she say?
She says, and I'm expecting her to be like, you know, yeah, you're way to go, feminist husband, you know? And she says to me,
my man, he's so evolved.
No, she says, the heart wants what the heart wants.
Oh,
she quotes fucking Woody Allen. All right, are we gonna listen to the song from this stupid record?
An innocent man. That's not how it goes at all.
Which one do you want to start with?
Well, I had an innocent man because it was the title track, but we can always start with Uptown Girl because that is like the best known.
I generally like to go in sequence.
Okay.
But my computer's.
I can't remember the track listing. I've been around English people. I have no solid sense of self. I have some very deeply ingrained emotional issues. Save me, Christy Brinkley.
Yeah, it's okay. Innocent Man, yes, that comes first on the record. So it opens with Easy Money, which is the
title track to a Rodney Dangerfield movie. It actually is.
I'll play a little bit of it because it's a James Brown sort of ripoff.
Yeah,
what it is.
I think it's supposed to be like this Wilson Pickett.
Mm. There's lots of hat and has kind of things,
right,
you know?
Exactly.
Good gods.
For a second there, when I was listening to this, I thought I was accidentally clicked on the Commitments album.
Oh, yeah. But to your point about how it's like, you know, it's infantile music written with adult lyrics, it's just a song about a gambling addict.
Right, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I thought maybe this was it was a metaphor. It's not.
No. No, Joel doesn't do metaphors. No. No.
Like, what's this song really about? No, I think it's just about gambling.
Moving on to Uptown Girl.
Ooh.
Which again, actually about Elle McPherson. He says so.
Yeah, and then Chrissy's in the video, so.
Yeah. That's not weird.
That's not weird.
She's been living in her Uptown Girl.
She's 19. That's creepy. You're a hard 35, Billy. Downtown Man is not what I think of Billy.
Oh, but that's...
I think he's a suburban kid.
Yes. Okay, good point. But regardless, I mean, I think that what's interesting about this song is that it's revealing of the depth. Like, this is what happens when you are... This is what happens to basically all baby boomers. They're so self-involved and so, you know, they're so privileged that they're allowed to be so selfish that, like, he thinks of himself as a victim all the time. Like, I mean, he's always the victim in his songs. And in this song, he's a victim, too. He's basically, like, saying, like, I'm a lowly pleb.
Right, and she's using me.
And she's using me. And it's like, dude, you're 34 years old and she's 18.
Right.
And that's one of the things about, like, you know, thinking about, you know, I can't believe I'm going to be, like, sounding like a conservative talk show host here, but like there is a danger in like adopting a victim mentality, a victimhood mentality, because it, among other things, it makes you blind to how you are victimizing other people. And he's victimizing her.
Yeah, he is.
You know?
He is. I think she's a willing participant, but I think it's just creepy.
Yeah.
It's creepy. Can you imagine Joel's drunk face coming up at you? Just like, I was thinking about this last night. Because, you know, he likes his booze and his liquor. And
yeah.
He likes the ladies at this point.
I like how you say coming up at you. Because,
coming up at you.
Because just she's like, so much taller. He's going to be approaching from below.
Exactly.
You know,
Gollum. Like, ah. Validate me.
Testing. Do-do-do. 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 We want to take a minute here and acknowledge our first sponsor on today's program, Gino's Discount RVs over on Long Island Avenue in Wyandanch, Long Island. Gino's RVs, because you can't spend all your retirement just watching CBS procedurals.
So my mom and my dad, they got a discount RV from Gino, and they went.
They get a good price.
They got a great price.
Good price.
Good people.
You folks.
They went down to Wynnegad in Florida for my mother's cousin's son's first communion.
Florida. Okay.
Turns out. They come back and I go over and I'm like, Ma, did you have a good time? And she said, I'm divorcing your father.
Oh,
you know that the family vacation ends in a divorce. Apparently, they fought the whole time.
No.
The cousin's son was super fat. He's into drugs. He's stealing from his ma. So they go back and they realize they don't love each other anymore. And now they're going to get a divorce. I think I'm going to be a bastard now. I don't know how the church works on that. But I blame my dissolving family on Gino's Discount RVs.
So we thank them for their support.
Yeah, you bastard. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I suppose we should listen to another song off of this here album. It's funny. I don't really think of this album as like distinct songs, you know? It's like,
right, it's for the first time we actually have
a unified statement.
And this is, I don't know what's going on, but I love it.
Yeah. I mean, it's an accomplishment.
It is. It's almost, it's a concept album kind of.
Okay. Let's listen to the title track, The Innocent Man, which by the way, when I had to listen to this song in the car growing up, I didn't get that there's like an incredibly, can you even really call it a metaphor? Like, I didn't get that it was about relationships. I thought that it was about a man convicted of a crime who was going to be put to the chair.
Oh, no. and he's singing his way down to the chair.
Yeah, and I thought it was very serious, this song, you know? But it's like, that shows you what kind of a kid I was, that like a Joel metaphor got past me. You know?
He's very subtle. It's not little 9-year-old Adam's fault.
Some people stay far away from the door if there's a chance of it opening up. They hear a voice in the hall outside and hope that it just passes by.
What's so funny about it? It's good.
It's good.
With the fear of a touch and the anger of having been a fool. They will not listen to anyone, so nobody tells them a lie.
Oh man, pre-chorus.
I know you're only protecting yourself. I know you're thinking of somebody else.
Pulls it back. Oh, you're not gonna get that chorus yet.
Not so fast.
Not so fast.
Not so fast, bozo.
You've been denying you could.
I just don't that voice that he goes into. That is, I can't get behind that. I'm sorry. I'll do anything to restore your faith. I'll even have sex with you, Al McPherson. What a sacrifice!
I'm gonna do you a solid, Al. I'm gonna go ahead and have sex with you.
I'm only willing
Welcome to womanhood.
Here comes.
I am an innocent man.
Okay, here's my favorite part, ready? Oh, no. I guess it comes later.
I am an innocent man. Oh, yes, I am.
He doesn't quite land the high note there on the end of the phrase. Maybe not, listen back to it. And that's the best he does it the whole song. So it gets worse each time he tries it, each subsequent iteration. So listen, hold on. Totally flat that time. Really flat.
He just got real tired.
Yeah. Well, and then it's just like by the time it comes around the last time, he's just like, fuck it, I'm going to go falsetto on it. Yeah. That's a punt. That is a punt.
The wheels are falling off.
Yeah.
Bye-bye. I always thought he said bye-bye, but it's...
Bye-bye?
Bye-bye.
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 An innocent man?
An innocent
bye-bye,
man.
Bye-bye, an innocent man. You're going to the chair.
You're going to the chair. I can just imagine little Adam sitting in the back seat just rocking back and forth thinking this guy's going to get the chair. What is going on with this live rock station?
Well, you know, We used to, when we would drive to go see my grandma in Long Island.
Who I imagine looks exactly like you, but in a dress. And she's making me false.
Every year, it gets closer to that. Okay. All right. I'm on the backside of this whole process. All right. 34 hasn't been easy on me either, Joel. Okay. All right.
Stay away from 19-year-old models. Just do me a solid there.
So we used to drive by Rockview State Prison in Pennsylvania, which is where the Pennsylvania electric chair is.
Oh, God.
And I would think about that a lot.
My father on the way to Boston would always point at Sing Sing.
Sing Sing? Oh, yeah, every time.
Yeah,
that's where they fry them.
Yeah, that's
Maggie,
where...
Maggie, that's where they fry them.
Yeah. You know the Rosenbergs, Maggie? Let me tell you that story. That's where up the river comes from, Maggie. I know way too much. I'm sorry. I just jumped over your story.
No, that was a better story.
No. So your dad would point out, is where everybody gets the chair, especially Billy Joel.
And then I would sit in the dark in the back of the car thinking about that for the entire fucking ride to New York.
Exactly. Like, what would it like to die like that?
Because they still use the chair when we were kids.
Yes,
like it was. Now it's all lethal injections.
Right.
But like the chair was a really terrible way to fucking kill people.
It really is. R.I.P. the Rosenbergs. I don't know what you did.
No one. They didn't do anything.
They didn't do anything. That's where up the river comes from, Maggie. up the river. Hey, Maggie, we're close to Sing Sing.
We got to get this back on track. So the Innocent Man song. To his credit, I saw an interview once. He said, like, you know, he said it was like he was getting to be, you know, his mid-30s and he was starting to lose the high notes at that point. And he wrote that song and he was just kind of like, I'm not going to be able to ever sing this again. So, you know, let's go out with a bang and let's go ahead and sing. Because it's like, this is a really funny thing with like rock stars is that they're, you know, you're never as young again as you are on the day that you record your most famous song. And a poor guy like John Bon Jovi could barely sing Living on a Prayer when he recorded it when he was a kid. And he only got older after that. And he's basically, he's doomed to have to play this song every single night that he cannot sing.
Right.
You know? But Joel, in all of the live cuts, you see his new sax player, Mark Rivera, sings the high note and like does it great.
Oh,
wow. Yeah.
How old is Mark?
Is
Mark a 12-year-old?
No, Mark's like not a young guy either, but I think he's someone who like didn't drink away his voice, unlike Joel.
He's not a castrati, or he is a castrati.
That's not where I was going with that. I'm just saying he cared for his instrument by not drinking. Anyways, you gotta make everything about the penis.
Penis.
What else could I do? I'm so inspired by you. That hasn't happened for the longest time.
Before we move on to another tune here, should we talk about the cover art to The Innocent Man?
Yeah, it's incandescent. It's very, very 80s. It doesn't. It's not evocative of the album itself.
What? What are you talking about?
I don't know. I don't
think
it is.
He's like dressing up like a greaser and hanging out on the stoop. That's what he's doing.
I don't know. I just don't think it goes well with
you know, the album itself.
What I think is creepy is that, like, in an effort to make him look like teenage Billy Joel, or at least have him evoke teenage Billy Joel, they have, like, and this is before Photoshop, right? So, like, this is all done, you know, manually. Mm-hmm. They have just, like, caked makeup on him. Like, he looks, I mean, this is pre-Botox, too, but he looks like...
He's held together with scotch tape.
Yeah. Oof. I mean, there's no wrinkle on that face, but there's really also nothing else on that face. I mean, he looks... You know what this looks like?
What does this look
Those
like?
Victorian photographs where they people would die, and then they would photograph them with their family. Yes. They'd, like, prop them up.
God, it does. It does. Take Billy out of the coffin. We need a picture.
So with that, let's listen to The Longest Time. Time. All the voices performed by Joel.
Really?
Yeah. Great melody. To
me tonight, this is a good song. There would still be
music left to write. I mean, that really sounds like a Beethoven theme. I mean, that really, really does.
Didn't he put Beethoven down on the line?
Well, yeah, so there's another song on this record where he steals the Pathetic and writes lyrics to it.
Right.
And credits him on the jacket as L.V. Beethoven. Or what I like to call fun with intellectual property in the public domain that I don't have to pay for. Really strong melody, very, very tight composition. I have nothing bad to say about this, except that... So apparently Joel brought in, like, an actual shooby-doo-wop group, you know, to try to sing this, and it just wasn't happening, it wasn't working, and so Phil Ramone said, Billy, you're gonna have to sing every single part, you know, and he did it, but he did a really good job, except that, like, he doesn't have the really low notes, and if you listen really closely, the low part is an actual bass. Is a bass guitar. It's Dougie Steggs on the bass. For the longest time.
Yeah.
And they rolled off all of the high frequencies to make it not sound like a bass, to just try to make it sound like a, you know, just a sine wave, you know, just like a really bland frequency so that your brain would kind of incorporate it into the rest of the voices. And I suppose it works because you didn't notice until I told you.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's a bass guitar singing the bass part.
Woo!
Oof.
And the piano sounds like a carnival, and the microphone smells like a beer. Sit at the bar and put bread in my jar and say, "Man, what are you doing?"
We'd like to thank our second sponsor for today's show, the Tri-State Stickball Federation.
Great organization, because when you're out there playing ball with your friends,
mm-hmm, your boys
in the streets, in the mean streets, right? There's certain things that you just want to be standardized, right?
Like that's what I want when I'm playing any sport, standardization.
Sure, yeah. I mean, because ultimately, what is the circumferential distinction between a stick and a bat?
Right. Oh, that is, I need some clarification.
Imagine if a boy came to into the streets to play stickball and he has a bat, okay? That's where that old expression, he brought a bat to a stickball game, comes from.
Oh, that's where that comes from.
That's where that comes from.
Wow.
Exactly. So you need a league to really regulate these things.
Mm, yep.
Ball size, okay? All right, this is important.
These are important details.
All right, okay. You know, look, the dues are very reasonable, okay? And that said, I mean, if you intend to do any, you know, off-league play, okay, I'm just saying, you know, some guys from the league might come down and picket your site, you know?
They don't take too kindly to that.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, they might picket your site and, you know, if your balls just go missing, you know.
Tri-State Stickball Ball Busters.
Yeah, exactly. The balls vanished. That would be very unfortunate
that
for you, wouldn't it? Be very unfortunate.
It would also be really unfortunate if you got beaten with a pillowcase full of nickels.
So listen, pay your dues, join the Federation, you know, in league stickball play is the way to go. You don't want any trouble.
Keep it clean.
You don't want any trouble.
We don't want trouble.
No. Hey! I think the time has come in the program where we need to discuss Billy's muse.
I think it might be.
Shall we listen to an excerpt from a Lifetime television intimate portrait?
I remember the intimate portraits on Lifetime. Everything has this sort of like Vaseline smeared haze.
You with the Vaseline. You're always making Vaseline comments.
Right. It's a useful product.
Mm, okay. So here's the intimate portrait of one Christie Brinkley. This is the story about how she met Joel in at a hotel bar in
St. Bart's,
yeah.
I sat down at the piano, and I was down there pretty much by myself, and I looked up, and there was Christie Brinkley.
And it was kind of funny. I was introduced to Billy, and he had gotten severely sunburned that day. He looked like a lobster. He was just the reddest thing in the world. And all shiny and everything.
He looked even more like Gollum than he usually did.
But he was hysterically funny. I mean, we just started laughing and, you know, talking and laughing. And me having lived in Paris.
You know what that reminds me of?
What?
That reminds me of a scene from a little movie called Wayne's World.
You know, I love what you do on the show. I mean, I look at you and I just laugh and laugh.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I could see how that one went down like that.
Because he's really saying, like, I've seen, like, Joel tell that story many times. He never mentions that he was, like, looked like a lobster and was all greased up.
Right, you know? Yeah.
So she's basically saying, oh my God, I sat down with him and he was so ugly.
I've just laughed and laughed. Oh, Billy.
So I understand, Meg, that you're going to take us to a little place now that we might visit for a few subsequent eps.
Mm.
And it's called Christie's Corner.
Christie's Corner. Christie's Corner. So this corner is about Christie telling us how to live our best lives.
Mm.
So this is sort of like she's the Oprah of this podcast.
Mm.
She is just a lovely lady. And how are we going to be as awesome as Christie? We're going to take some of her advice.
Yes, Christie speaks with Us Weekly about how to get your hair shiny as fuck.
Right.
Now, I loved this tip you had in your book that you still use Sun-In.
What, you guys? She still uses Sun-In?
I don't use it the way that it says on the bottle.
So she uses it internally.
But what I do is I pour a little bit out, I take a cotton ball, mm-hmm. and then I lift up just the hair that I want and touch it along. And then I take another one and I sort of put
I mean,
it on.
That
so
is thinking outside the box, man.
Wow.
I use a hair dryer. I usually use that technique when I'm trying to blend a root.
Blend a root.
I'm lazy about blend a root all the way into the city.
I'm not going to drive all the way into the city to blend a root. So I'm going to use some Sun-In. I'm going to go to CVS. I'm going to get some Sun-In. I'm going to get some cotton balls in my hair dryer. Christie is thrifty and creative.
This has been Christie's Corner.
Christie's Corner.
There's really no deep cuts on this record. I mean, all of these are sort of famous songs.
Yeah.
What should we listen to next?
I think Christie Lee, because I think this is actually the worst song on the album.
Oh, okay. I like that.
Let me tell you a story.
Always going for the difficult rhymes, Joel is.
He was always so to me.
Challenging rhymes.
But I can't forget the woman. She was always Christie Lee.
She was always Christie Lee.
She sure was.
So this song is 3 minutes and 32 seconds, and I feel like
we've heard the whole thing. Oh yeah, you've gotten it all. You got a verse, a chorus, you got it all.
You're done now.
Yeah.
I feel like there's a lot going on in the song, and it should have been so much shorter. I feel like it doesn't hold up for 3 minutes.
Because it's just like, yeah, like, and then we walked into the restaurant.
Right, it's like
and
an
then
epic
we
narrative.
Sat down, and then we ordered the lobster.
Right. It's like somebody put the Odyssey to like jangly doo-wop music. She took off her coat and we talked a little bit.
Okay, I'm done with that.
Yep.
How about we listen to... Oh, so this is actually a really good song, is Tell Her About It.
Oh, that's a good song.
Trying to sound like the Supremes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all those Supreme songs that were all just kind of like, you know, listen, girl, what you got to do to get your man is you got to work those roots.
Right.
Okay.
You got to get some sun in it.
Got to get some sun in it. CBS. And I actually think that like this is one of the few things that is like ever subversive about Joel is that he takes the gender role of that song archetype and reverses it.
Mm.
You know, it's very subtly subversive. but it's all like, listen, boy, this is what you got to do to get the lady.
Right.
And I think it works, you know.
This album is all just relationship advice, and some of it's solid relationship advice for a guy who's had a nightmare of a love life.
Oh, the nightmares are really to come.
Yeah, that's true.
Remember,
his future wife is 2 years old.
Yeah, exactly. Katie Lee is not even going boom boom in the potty yet.
Nice girl wouldn't tell you what you should do. Oh,
listen, boy, I'm sure that you think you got it all under control. Man. You really got to do the head thing with this.
This is a good album to like drive around to.
Yeah. That's why it was in the minivan in the center console. Came with every single model for a decade.
Roll down those windows, mommy.
Yeah, that's right. That it came with that. The center console came with this album and one of those just giant coffee mugs. You know, the kind that's going to get you through your whole day.
Right. You know? Drink it even if it's cold.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Tell her about it. Tell her all. Dreams, yeah. Let her know you need her. Let her know how much she solid needs. Song. Got nothing
great
to make
song.
Fun of.
Yeah.
It's good. All right. Shall we move on to the final track of the record?
Yes.
Okay. Because there's some things to say about this one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Keeping the faith.
Keeping the faith.
I think this album is so optimistic.
That's one way to put it. It's also, another way to put it is that it's 1983 and there's cocaine everywhere.
Cocaine and nukes.
Cocaine, nukes, and Reagan.
Living on the edge. Oh, then you should have known me much better. Cause my past
is something that never got in my way. Again, Joel taking the subtext and saying, fuck it, let's just make it the text. Let me tell you what this record was actually all about.
Right.
Like it's some kind of expository essay.
Let me go ahead and do the analysis for you.
For you, exactly. Let me mansplain my own record to you, is basically what this song is. That's why I'm keeping the
faith. Yeah, 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 yeah. Keeping the faith. It is kind of nice not to hear him as a sad sack.
It's true.
He's usually kind of sad.
He's having a good time.
He is.
No. Okay. Listen. This is the part where he describes his wardrobe as a teenager.
Yes. With the same collar shirt and a
tight pair of chinos. If I'm guessing, it was a little too tight. You know what I'm saying? Billy, you're filling out. You're not filling out, Billy. You're not, we can't get you into these pants. These are too small.
You gotta leave something to the imagination, Billy. Old man's Trojans and his old spice. I remember finding out what Trojans were and being horrified.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I think it was like 10 or something. And I'm like, what?
Well,
and then,
God, back in the 50s, they're probably still making them out of lambskin and shit, right?
But then, you know, it's just Billy being edgy again.
Oh, so edgy with
so
the Trojans.
So edgy with the Trojans.
Yeah. I want to show you the vidya.
The vidya. I would very much like to see the vidya.
Because it opens with an extensive skit.
Yes, please.
Do you recall this?
No, but I haven't seen this, and I want to see this now so bad.
Okay.
We're standing on the steps of Music Court. Inside, the Billy Joel trial still continues.
Sure, throughout,
I'm sorry, 80s, Music Court?
Music Court, yes. There's a very 80s courtroom tableau, right? And there's a whole bunch of, like, characters.
I think that's Rip Torn.
Is that Rip Torn as the judge? Yeah.
Now, I want those doors closed, and I want them kept closed.
Okay. Now, the best part is when Joel approaches the bench and has to deliver a line. He's got to act. Okay? So check this out.
It's now or never.
You know, Judge, they say justice is blind. I sure hope it ain't deaf.
Nailed it. Nailed the line.
Take a note, Hollywood. Billy Joel can act.
You would think, I mean, just based on, like, everything we know about Joel, I would actually think that he would have some natural talent as a thespian.
Yeah.
Right? That line reading, like, God. That's...
Yeah, that was pretty terrible.
It was terrible.
It was terrible. It wasn't good. It wasn't very
good. Not good.
I'm sorry.
Not good.
Billy, you're a good musician. You're going to stay there, okay? You're just going to stay there.
What's the matter with the clothes I'm wearing? Can't you tell that your tie's too white? Maybe I should buy some cooktop cows, but back to the ancient giant.
Time to update the Joel power rankings.
Power rankings. Power rankings.
We've got Glass Houses at number one, The Stranger at two, Nylon Curtain at three, followed by 52nd Street, and then a bunch of albums that nobody ever needs to hear. Where are we going to put The Innocent Man?
I am going to make a case for number one, because this is the first time.
Whoa.
Yeah, this is the first time you actually have a unified Joel. You've got one idea. He doesn't jump from song to song. It's not, this is metal, and then this is, you know.
He doesn't do metal. There's no Joel metal song. What the fuck are you talking
inspired,
about?
Funk-inspired, metal-inspired. It's not just a bunch of disparate songs. It's an actual album.
True. On the other hand, like, it's easy to be thematically consistent when what you're doing is basically just like a tour of the antique store, right? You know, he didn't have to come up with anything new for this.
Well, lyrically he did. I mean, he did take this, you know, like we talked about before, he took this old form and added, you know, the adult lyrics to it and the mature Joel looking back.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not sure I could get behind number one.
All right.
But I do think it is better than Glass Houses. I don't like that we have Stranger at number two. I feel like Stranger should be number one. If for nothing else than for Dougie Stegg's poppin' bass line on the title track. That is just so...
That's some sick work,
that's
Dougie.
That's right. That is if you were to... If you were to perform a Halston dress on the bass.
Yeah. You're going to want Dougie to do it.
All right. Where would you be comfortable putting this record if it's not number one?
Can we switch The Stranger in Glass Houses and then put this
no.
at number two? Come
no,
on.
No, we're locked into these decisions.
Come on.
No, actually, I'm totally fine with that. I really support that. Okay. So Stranger's one. Innocent Man is two,
Glass Houses
is
three,
then Nylon Curtain, and then all this other garbage beneath it.
Which I still think Cold Spring Harbor is, I don't know why it's so far down, but we need to fix that later, because I think it's a good album.
Okay, good luck with that. What do we have coming up next?
We are actually going to do Billy's first greatest hits album, but there are two
are
fresh
we do that?
Songs. Are we going to do that? I wasn't
I don't
sure.
Think so. I think we can just do that as like a prelude to the next.
Okay.
App. Yeah.
Then what would be after that?
The Bridge.
Are we going to do that? Isn't that his
The Bridge?
Isn't that his all instrumental?
No. No, that's a that's
What's that one? Coming up is The Bridge.
And you don't remember what's on it.
I don't remember what's on it, but y'all, it's gonna rock.
It is it's the one where, like, basically he's done his like oldies tour, right?
Right.
And then he's like, okay, now I gotta catch up with where music is in the 80s. You know? What am I going to... The modern Joel's got to make a modern statement.
Okay.
And so there's songs on it like Modern Woman.
Ooh.
Do you remember that?
I think I do.
What other... There's a good song on it, which is the Ray Charles duet, Baby Grand.
I'm so excited to hear this album.
You've not heard that song?
I
That's not
heard
ringing
this,
any...
Not a really long time.
Huh. Okay. It's really fucking dated. Okay.
Are there like laser sounds and shit?
There's no lasers. But there is a cameo. There is a cameo from one Cyndi Lauper.
Oh, that's awesome.
Out of the mall and into the Joel studio. Yay.
I mean, she is she from Long Island?
Long Island?
I think she's from Long Island.
She's certainly in New York.
She's definitely New York.
Okay.
She's definitely New York.
Yeah. Oh, to the core. Does Billy have any words of wisdom for us to close the program?
You know, I think this is everyone's favorite words of wisdom are from this album and from the song Keeping the Faith.
Mm.
You can get just so much from a good thing.
Yeah, only so much.
Only so much. You can linger too long in your dreams. Say goodbye to the oldies but goodies. Because the good old days weren't always good and tomorrow ain't as bad as it seems.
I actually think that last couplet is pretty good.
Yeah.
Honestly, like, say goodbye to the oldies but goodies. He could have easily gone for something trite and very, like, Reagan and, you know, say goodbye to the oldies but goodies, but it's morning in America now. And,
right, yeah.
And everything is going to be great with Reagan and cocaine. You know, I believe that children are our future. But he actually backs it off a bit and he says, say goodbye to the oldies but goodies because the good old days weren't always good and tomorrow ain't as bad as it seems, which is a bittersweet place to end it. It's like, yeah, it sucks. Like, we're in our 30s now and it is a downhill, you know, slope from here.
Right.
But it's not going to be as bad as you're worrying about.
You know, it's optimistic Joel. The first time we've really seen him. And I think he's closing the door on some stuff that he needed to close the door on a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm excited to see where he goes musically from here. Yeah.
However, if we look at Joel in 2016, tomorrow really was as bad as it seemed. He had a car. He got drunk and crashed his car.
Because of 9/11.
Because of a 9/11.
Because of 9/11. Adam.
Because of 9/11.
Okay.
Okay. Look, I don't want to blame it all on 9/11, but
it certainly didn't help things. Let's keep in mind, this is the guy who moved back to New York because it was the city was failing.
He had to save it.
He had to save the city. He had to.
Oh my God! He had to save the city by getting drunk and plowing his car.
Because of 9/11.
Well, thank you all for listening to We Did Not Start the Podcast.
We did not.
We did not. We did not start the podcast. Boom. Landed the jet right where I took it off from.
Bookending.
Shit. I'm Adam Ragusa. I don't really like Billy Joel.
I'm Meg Donahue, and I really do.
See you next time.
Bye. Boom, boom, ching, ching, bang, bang, what's up?
Hey, listeners, do you like talking about Billy Joel?
Why, yes. Yes, I do.
Well, I've got a podcast that you should listen to, but you could also talk about the Joel and the podcast on the Twitter using the hashtag JoelHole.
That's so convenient.
Mm.
Adam can be found on Twitter at @aragusia. I am on Twitter as well at @DonahueMeg.
This program that we're doing here is purely for our benefit. We presume that you're not listening right now.
We had so many thoughts about Joel.
So many thoughts. Just had to put them down somewhere for posterity. We're not making any money with this, so leave us alone. If you have a problem with anything that we did, there's no money to be had here.
Sorry, guy. No money. Yeah, some of our sponsors are real businesses, but they're not actually our sponsors. We were kidding.